San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for It's Your Money and Your Life, search us there. You can hear us, all the podcasts there. And also, we are live on your smartphone if you download the app for 760 KFMB. And we stream live on 760KFMB.com. And now, time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a best-selling author. He's a lecturer. He's a philanthropist and a family office expert advising several high net worth families. Did I leave anything out? Good evening, Richard Muzio. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Joe. This is our first live show of the year. We sort of cheated last week.
Yes. So, well, sometimes we have to accommodate the
guests.
Well,
over the holidays. So anyway, Happy New Year, everybody. Like we probably said it last week, but since we were taping before the end of the year, I don't remember.
Oh, it never gets old. Happy New Year, of course. Yeah. Of course. It's so far, it's going pretty well for the Patriots today. I don't know if you caught any of that. But
I was watching that. They pretty wild. Looked like Baltimore was going to win there at the end, but they held on.
They did. They did indeed. I just wanted to make... Oh, we have to plug the big play coming up.
Yes,
at the North Coast Rep, Dick Enberg, folks, the famous broadcaster, and we now have him broadcasting for the Padres and the La Jolla resident, wrote a play about a famous coach named Al McGuire from Marquette, and it's only going to be two nights only. The first night's a fundraiser for the North Coast Repertory Theater up there in Loma Santa Fe Avenue, Solana Beach, right, Richard?
That's correct, Solana Beach, just east of the Highway 5 off of Loma Santa Fe.
Yes, and anyway, Dick will be there both nights for Q&A after the show. I believe the actor Cotter Smith will be with him, too. They're flying them in from New York. But Bill Walton will be there the 10th. So
don't buy a seat behind his because he's 6'11".
No, he sits in the aisle. He brings his own chair. Excuse me. Good. But anyway, Bill has seen the show before, and he wrote a little tribute. I just want to read one part of it. I can't read the whole thing, but in very huge font that he sent. But he says, Cotter Smith's performance here is nothing short of brilliant. He is able to portray Al McGuire, the man in his life, so eloquently that by the end, with the crowd roaring its approval and chanting for more, you're convinced that Cotter really is Al. And he closes with, he goes, you're going to end up asking yourselves, how can all this be true? They must be making it up. We all confirmed that after a life with Al McGuire that truth does indeed strangle fiction. Only the unparalleled talents of Dick Enberg and Cotter Smith enable us to fully believe it. And he goes, you've been suitably warned. Miss this at your own peril, Bill Walton. So how about that for a testimonial? By the way, played for the Boston Celtics, and that'll
he won a championship for the Boston Celtics.
Yes, he did. And we've got a guest coming up. So we have two guests from Massachusetts here, I believe. So that'll be important later. But have you been following the $200 million? I guess there's three proposals to build a $200 million Ferris wheel down by the USS Midway down there, 450 feet or some crazy thing. And I just think that is a bad use for that space.
An airplane could hit it while landing.
That's true. That hasn't even come up either.
That's true.
But, if they've got that kind of money floating around, I know it's private money and they want to charge $25 or $30 a ride too, but... I just think that's a little bit outrageous. If they have that kind of money, let's fix the streets or something. The city, find a way to tax that and fill the potholes. The potholes are pretty bad around. I haven't noticed until, have you noticed? I mean.
When I run, I have to jump over them.
Anyway.
And we don't need a 400-foot Ferris wheel.
No, we don't.
Say.
And then one other article I've been reading up on Japan lately, and apparently they're getting tired of having kids over there. Did you see anything about this? This is pretty nuts.
I'm getting tired of having kids, too. I've got three. But...
No, but...
they don't listen, so I can say that.
Seriously, they don't want to have sex. I mean, it's crazy. I read this article.
Oh, the birth rate's going way down in Japan. That's one reason why... They're never probably going to return
a gender equality issue over there, which is why I think perhaps I'm just going to speculate here. But Carol Kim, ran for city council in a primarily Asian district, and maybe that was part of the issue because I thought she'd do a lot better. And maybe under the surface, something was going on there that we don't know. But anyway, Japan, their debt, folks, their national debt is twice their GDP, and they also hold $1.5 trillion of our notes. So they go down, and we're going to be out selling apples. But anyway, on that cheery note, I think we should get into the show. What do you say, Richard?
Yeah, we have one of our sponsors in studio, too. That would be Paul Hines. And Paul's probably going to ask a couple questions as we go, even though the show is not about him. But
wonderful.
And Financial
Abuse.
Abuse.org is Paul's website. Paul is with Hearthstone Private Wealth Management, but it's something he's doing, and it's really consistent with what our guests are going to talk about tonight, so we invited him in.
Great. Well, to get into the show, and full disclosure, I've known one of these guests quite a long while, but he has been in the philanthropy field for quite a while, and actually I knew him before he had his two daughters, so we go back quite a ways. But anyway, he is got a new position over at St. Paul Senior Homes and Services, and he is the, what is it here? Tell it to me, Liam.
Major Gifts and Planned Giving Manager.
There it is at the top of the page. How did I miss it in big letters? So anyway, Liam Duffy, welcome to the show. It's a real pleasure to have you here tonight.
Thank you very much, Joe, for being I appreciate you inviting me in.
My pleasure. Now, you've been working hard in the philanthropy field for a long time, but, well, I know you're really happy with the New England result today. So tell us about, you know, your birthplace, where you went to school, and how you wound up in San Diego.
Sure. I grew up in Boston. I moved out to San Diego about 15 years ago, and I've been working in the nonprofit sector at a couple of local charitable organizations the last 5 years at St. Paul Senior Homes and Services over in Bankers Hill. I've had a great time over there.
But you're jumping ahead. Let's get into your education a little bit. Where'd you go? Did you go to where'd you go to school?
I went to this little school in upstate New York called Elmira College, liberal arts, 1,200 students, great fit for me. Then I went directly into graduate school at the University of Maryland, College Park, just outside of Washington, D.C.
Studying what?
Higher Education Administration. Hmm. I started out my career working for USD, as a matter of fact.
Yay, my alma mater.
It's a great school.
The basketball team scored 47 points today.
47 points. Depressed. Did they win?
Of course not.
Oh. Maybe I thought their defense would have stepped up.
47? Well, anyway. Go ahead.
All right, but anyway, so schooled there, and then you went to San Diego State too. Oh, you got it.
I worked over at SDSU. Mm-hmm. I've worked over at the Ronald McDonald House Charities. Mm-hmm. Then, in about the fall of 2009, I started my position at St. Paul's in the foundation there. Mm-hmm. I've worked in marketing, admissions, our senior day program. And only about a month ago, I returned back to the foundation in a major gifts and planned giving role, which I'm really excited about.
Now, over at Ronald McDonald House, what did you do over there? Just to
fundraising.
Ah, okay.
For about 3 years, I worked on our new house. At the time, we were in a little 12-bedroom house for families with sick kids. And then we opened up a 47-bedroom house right on top of the garage for Rady Children's Hospital.
It's a neat place. I've been there.
It is.
Did you come up with the idea to raffle off a house to raise money?
Can
you take credit for that?
I cannot take credit for it, but I know that program has raised a significant
I just got that in the mail today.
They've pushed it back all the way to the first or second week of January.
Okay.
Yeah, typically, it's been done in the spring, but in years past, I think they've really pushed it back into January.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little challenge. I mean, with the economy after 08, is it coming back? Are the gifts and giving picking up a little bit, or is it still kind of a challenge?
Nationally, giving remained somewhat flat during the economic downturn. I haven't looked at the data for the last couple of years as we've incrementally gotten better economically. I did read a report the other day. There's some income threshold. I think it's over, if your household income is over $100,000, you give 2.5% of your net income. But if you make less than $60,000, you give away like 4 or 5% of your net income, which is surprising. It sends a message that a lot of more modest speaking people will give more of their net income than wealthier people making over $100,000.
You're in planned giving, so you're working on getting future gifts. I'm curious.
Correct.
The estate tax exemption has increased all the way to almost $5.5 million per person, or about $11 million per married couple. Is that affecting people making longer-term gifts or gifts through their will or living trust?
Excellent question. And I'm glad I have my wife because she's a tax attorney. Okay. And she gave me the numbers last year or the year before. It is such a small percentage of the population.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When you're right. talking about that amount of a state gift and having your whole estate worth that much for a couple or for an individual person. I mean, most people that have that amount of wealth, they are taking a lot of plans to shield some of that money or to shift it. But when it comes to planned giving, I like to use the word legacy giving. Most lay people don't understand planned giving. Legacy giving is where a person that has given to a charitable organization before can make a bequest, can make a gift that would make a major impact, whether they're alive or upon their passing. And there's some really neat gift vehicles that people can use. One of the really popular ones right now, especially if you're in your 70s or 80s, the charitable gift annuity. I think most people know how an annuity works.
Mm-hmm.
But a charitable gift annuity has a pretty neat component because you're able to make a gift now, receive income for life, guaranteed, and then upon your passing, the corpus will go back to the charitable organization. And for a senior who's in their late 70s, instead of investing your money in a CD at a bank, you could make upwards of 6 or 7% on a charitable gift annuity, guaranteed for life.
Yeah, depending on the math, you might also get a charitable income tax deduction for a little bit of it.
You do.
Depending on how big your payout is coming back.
Well, how about Warren Buffett? He put that big challenge out to people to give, I guess, to give away, is it half or all of their wealth to charity?
I thought it was all.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't think people should pay estate tax, even though he favors the estate tax.
Yeah. So does Bill Gates' father. Yeah.
Yeah, his family's done significant planning.
And the estate tax is pretty much, it used to be 55%.
It's down to 40, and the exemption's up to, they estimate there's only maybe 600,000 families in the country that have taxable estates now because of the drastic increase over the last 15 years.
Not counting what's over in Luxembourg and other places.
as my wife indicated to me, it's a small number when you're thinking of that many millions of dollars in
right.
the state.
Right. Well, it's good. You don't have to dial as many numbers, so I guess that works out. Hey, I think we should have to take a little break, though, right now. Right, Eric? Hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with the folks from St. Paul's right after this. Hang on. All right, we're riding back into the studio here with that great bonanza music. We're speaking with Liam Dunphy, manager of Major Gifts and Planned Giving at St. Paul's Senior Homes and Services. Welcome back, Liam.
Thank you, Joe.
I think Paul had a question.
Our sponsor, Paul Hines, had a question.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, this is Paul Hines. And my question for you, Liam, is Congress, in its infinite wisdom, brought back the direct charitable rollover from IRAs. Did you see a lot of activity from that?
We didn't this year, and my hope is in future years that we'd have more than a two-week window to actually reach out to our donors to let them know that this would be a compelling way to make a gift. This is a recurring problem with Congress, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but this every 2 years, this is always up for discussion. And this year, they just waited all the way until the 50th week of the year to make the decision that they would extend it for this year, and donors had 2 weeks. Now, that is a significant way, though, that people can make a gift from their IRA,
yeah.
And it's a wonderful way, too.
And we were talking on the break how it might be a really nice alternative to a reverse mortgage. Would you guys agree with that?
I would
say that was the charitable annuity.
Yeah. The charitable annuity would be a nice alternative to the
reverse mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're stuck in your house right? If once you get a reverse mortgage.
No, you just don't have any flexibility because
right.
the thing grows so quickly.
Right. But but don't you have to stay in your home until you pass? I thought that was part of the deal.
Yeah, it stays your personal residence.
Well, that's...
So, yeah, you do have some restrictions on...
I mean, what if you want to move in with your daughter-in-law, you know, and drive her bananas?
but Liam, so planned giving, you're looking
keeps
to
you
the
living,
future.
You live longer, you know?
Or move to the St. Paul Senior Center.
Yeah, exactly. But you're looking to the future then in terms of raising funds. So obviously you guys probably have some initiatives that you have planned for
future
down the road.
We do. We've been around for about 55 years. We've grown exponentially through those 55 years. This year in particular, we have two really neat projects coming online. We have St. Paul's Plaza, which is going to be a retirement community in the Otaya Ranch, Chula Vista. Mm-hmm. It's going to be scheduling to open in June or July, and philanthropy will be playing a pretty big role in that. Anytime we open a new program or a new community, philanthropy is always a discussion point because that is at the core of our founding. We were founded by the St. Paul's Parish, which is now the St. Paul's Cathedral, and it was just a group of people within that congregation that said, hey, we need to make sure that the seniors in our congregation have a safe and social place to retire. And these are seniors of modest means. And now we're serving over 800 seniors, with 400 of those seniors being lower income in our PACE program.
Hmm.
And speaking of the PACE program, that's one of the second initiatives we're raising money for this year. The Celadon Apartments at 9th and Broadway, we're working with a couple of downtown agencies to have 63 apartments for our PACE seniors. PACE seniors are lower income seniors that are on Medi-Cal typically, or Medicare and Medi-Cal. And these are very frail, very low income seniors that need comprehensive health and social services. And typically with PACE, we won't provide housing, but with this special initiative, we are taking near homeless seniors in San Diego, and we are taking seniors that are also veterans. And we all know in this room, there are a lot of near homeless veterans or homeless veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be furnishing their apartments.
Hmm.
And if people want to adopt an apartment, where we have 63 of them at the Celadon community. I had a donor yesterday that made a nice gift. She's willing to sponsor two of our rooms, two apartments.
Wow.
And they're $2,000 a piece.
Hmm. That's modest right there. So mm-hmm. Your website is stpaulseniors.org. I want to make sure everyone knows that. And there's one link on here about the furnishings. Did you talk about the furnishings campaign?
Yes.
So there's a link right at the bottom of that page if you folks want to know more about that. And of course, PACE is the program of all-inclusive care for the elderly. That's what the acronym stands for. So St. Paul started what year? And I mean, the church probably goes back to what, turn of the last century? You know,
I think so. The beginning of the 19th century, the parish, St. Paul's Parish, started in the mid-50s. That's when the concept of providing a safe senior retirement community started, and by 1960 we had St. Paul's Manor open. We're located in beautiful Bankers Hill, a wonderful place to retire. And now we have all of these other levels of care, because through the years there's just been a compelling need to provide different levels, such as assisted living, memory care, skilled nursing, a day program for seniors that have beginning to moderate memory loss. The PACE program, which has grown exponentially the last 5 or 6 years.
How does that differentiate it from the other ones, the PACE program?
So PACE is a program where we actually empower seniors to remain in their home.
Ah.
That is the big key.
Which is what a lot of people like to do.
They want to do that. Baby boomers have already been assessed and evaluated. They want to remain in their homes as long as possible. And, of course, we want to support that. These PACE seniors are over the age of 55. They live within a certain zip code area, and we provide the comprehensive health and social services for them. We'll pick them up in their home. We'll bring them into our clinic downtown. We'll provide anything from podiatry to social work help to physical therapy. And we're talking about a coordinated health and social service program.
And enhancing their social circle, which is important, because a lot of people
important.
Get walled in and cut off, you know, going to depression and everything else. So you're battling
like
that.
The challenge my late father had was all of his friends passed away before he did. And it had a profound effect, I think, on his last few years, because when you're in your 80s, for example, it's really hard to make new friends.
It is hard. And one of the things that we've had to grapple with the last few years, some of our seniors have passed in the PACE program. And we have a pastoral care program at St. Paul's with a chaplain in our PACE program. And we've held a number of memorial services. But it gives our seniors the chance to talk. And you brought up a great point. At home, they're isolated in many instances. They live on their own. They don't have many family around. And when they come into our clinic, which is also, there's a social side to it, where they're doing recreational activities, they get a nice warm meal. they really do build friendships.
Take a bus tour, right? You do all that kind of thing?
We do. Yeah. We have a transportation grant. I mean, philanthropy is at the heart of what we're all about at St. Paul's. Mm-hmm. And we find ways to add value to seniors' lives.
And the one cool thing is, I'm not sure what denomination is. Is it Episcopalian or Methodist?
It is Episcopalian.
But you guys are non-denominational. You don't care what faith anybody is or lack thereof, right?
We do not care. We do care.
But you don't discriminate.
We
you
do
welcome
not discriminate
everybody.
Because our chaplain, I talked to him yesterday, he doesn't matter what faith journey you're on. Mm-hmm. He's there to be a resource.
Excellent. That's really good. I'm not sure if every other senior facility has that kind of philosophy, but that's very admirable. So
that does make us unique. I mean, mm-hmm. we're the only PACE program in California with a faith component. We are a multi-level retirement community, mm-hmm. meaning that there's no buy-in for St. Paul's, but we have all of the levels of care if you needed those higher levels of care. And many of our seniors do. And it's important for them and their family to know that we're there for them. We're modestly priced. And we've been around for 55 years, and we plan around for being around for a lot longer.
You know, I've spent a lot of time in assisted living homes because of what I do for a living and also because of family. And I notice in many places there really isn't much of a spiritual feel, or that side of the existence is somewhat ignored, maybe at the risk of offending somebody. And I think as you get older, that becomes even more important because as people have memory loss or lose friends, I think that really keeps them grounded,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of my criticisms of the industry in general.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll get more into that.
So
we
that
come
does not
right
apply
back.
At St.
Yeah.
Paul's.
We'll come right back with more information about St. Paul's right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back with the second half of the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
Thank you to all of our sponsors. We got some new ones, too, so this is going to take longer than normal. But we want to thank UBS, Michael Carancha, and Drew Freitas and team. They develop and connect dynamic strategic relationships that help families across generations acquire what they want more of, such as time, achievement, coherence, in a world of rapid and disruptive change. And I also want to shout out to Brianna Carancha, Mike's daughter. She's at a big cheer competition up in Anaheim, so you better bring home first place again, girl, like you always do. Go Brianna. Also, our favorite CPAs on the planet, Plato Epic CPAs, at their new office in San Marcos. They actually have an open house this Tuesday from 4 until 7. At their new location in San Marcos near the Civic Center. So check out their website, politoepic.com, if you want to attend that open house. It's going to be a lot of fun. One of our other favorite CPAs on the planet, Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO service here in San Diego, helping businesses that don't need a full-time CFO have access to great resources on the financial side. Also, Brenda Geiger with the Geiger Law Offices. And this is an appropriate sponsor for this show because Brenda's office does estate planning and asset protection planning. So if you want to make a large gift to St. Paul's, either now or upon your passing, Brenda Geiger can certainly help you with the legal documents involved in that. Joel Grushkin and Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. And I was just working on a case with Joel this week, and we're really helping some real estate owners improve their cash flow. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, the best business valuation firm on the planet, helping business owners increase the values of their businesses by doing a better job of managing the risks that drive the value of those businesses. Our new banking sponsor, California Republic Bank, with Lane Elliott. Lane is going to be one of our guests coming up later in January. California Republic Bank is a very interesting niche bank that works primarily with wealthy families and family offices, serving their unique needs. We also have, as I said, we've got some new ones coming up. We have Hub International, the insurance agency that was the acquirer of Mars Matix here in town. And, of course, they are by far and away the best employee benefits firm I've ever run into. Neil Staley, one of their vice presidents, will be coming up as a guest, I believe, in February. We get to talk more about Obamacare, but it's one of the most interesting things that has ever happened in the tax landscape. We also have in studio Paul Hines. Paul, of course, is the president of Hearthstone Private Wealth Management and heads up the EndFinancialAbuse.org initiative with some other great participants. So we thank Paul for sponsoring the show and coming in tonight to participate in the show. Servant Leadership Institute, servantleadershipinstitute.com. They have their fifth annual national conference coming up on March 9th and 10th in Coronado, where, for the first time in history, appearing on the stage all together at the same time, We
simultaneously even.
Simultaneously. John Maxwell, Stephen M. R. Covey, and Ken Blanchard. So you can't miss that event. ServantLeadershipInstitute.com. And last but not least, check out FM 89.1 later this week. My wife, Mary, is going to be on the East County Radio Magazine show. Joe, you know those folks, our good friends, about cancer care out in the East County and her business, The Brighter Side, locations in La Mesa and Solana Beach. So that's going to be on FM 89.1. So a lot of cool stuff going on.
What day and time? Any idea?
Whatever their regular show is, I think it airs on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I believe in the morning, and Tuesdays and Thursdays in the afternoon.
But
check out East County Radio Magazine, or the East County Magazine website for their particular radio show. It's all listed on their schedule there.
Oh, there we go. Sure. Miriam Raftery.
Miriam Raftery, our good
that.
Friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Heartland Coalition in El Cajon. So.
And then folks might be interested in wondering how they could find the sponsors, Richard.
They might be.
So I think I will tell them.
Why don't you do that?
If you get on a computer and go over to iymoney.com, move your cursor over to the sponsors tab. There's a drop-down menu. You can click on any or all of them and all their professional information, their contact information.
And just go to our website anyway, because Joe's caricature is now featured prominently right in the center, right? Smack dab in the middle of that thing, and it came out really good.
It did. And I was glad that I said, put a little more hair on there, will you please? Because,
I'm
follically challenged.
But thank you to Court Jones out in El Cajon for putting up with that exercise.
Two more follicles atop my pate, which was much appreciated. So, but now that we've used the first half of the third
second.
And also, by the way, Dick Enberg's going to be on the show on the January 31st. We'll have him on. We might have to record.
Yes, he's January 31.
But we'll have at least one good segment with him about his play. So stay tuned for that. Anyway.
We've got another guest in studio, don't we?
We certainly do. And she's an attractive young lady. She works over in the daycare supervisor over at St. Paul Senior Homes and Services. She's been there a year and a half. And her name is Melissa Stinson. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
First time on radio, right?
It is my first time on radio.
And you seem so calm.
Well,
it's a dream come true. I always wanted to be a country singer on the radio. This is the step in the right direction.
Belt one out. Go ahead.
We're all going to karaoke after this. We'll give that a start there. But, Melissa, this is great to have you on. Now, you mostly work with day-to-day with the seniors yourself, right?
Yes, I do.
So your background, let's get into your background a little bit. You're from Chicago originally?
Yes, I'm from the suburbs of Chicago, born and raised. Mm-hmm. I went to Texas for University of North Texas, representing the mean green here with my mug.
Uh-huh.
I studied literature and got my bachelor's in literature.
Uh-huh.
I came to San Diego to pursue a master's in literature. I did one semester and quickly realized it wasn't really my calling and my career path. I had been working with seniors since I was in high school.
Hmm.
And I always loved it, but I hadn't really accepted the fact that it was my career until I was pursuing literature, and it just didn't feel right anymore. I knew I was going to really miss the work I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stayed with that instead. I actually dropped out of grad school. Mm-hmm. I think I shocked a lot of people. It wasn't really like my personality to do that, but I don't regret it at all.
Well, you've got to follow your bliss, you know, as Joseph Campbell said. So
yeah, and as a best-selling author, I can definitely confirm that there's not a lot of money in literature, even if you're a best-selling author.
Well, you got to do what you like to do. That's the main thing.
Exactly. Follow your passion.
So you dropped out of grad school, and then what?
I was a bus driver for about a year.
For seniors.
And it was the most fun I ever had in my whole life.
Really?
We went to movie theaters.
This is in Texas?
This was here in San Diego.
Okay.
So it was by the time I had moved to San Diego.
So for the city or working for a charity?
Working for a community.
Okay.
I was the seniors bus driver and activity assistant, and we went everywhere, and I drove them wherever they wanted to go.
Are you old enough to drive a bus? You look barely over 21, for God's sakes. Anyway.
Managed.
So that obviously you fell in love with that that profession. So then when did you've been at St. Paul's for a year and a half, right?
Yes.
And so did you start at your current position, or did you work your way up to that? Or
so I started at St. Paul's Villa, which is residential community, offers assisted living and memory care.
Mm-hmm.
My real passion in senior care is dementia care, and that is what I've always been involved with to some capacity or other, is seniors with dementia. At the Villa, I was working in their memory care, And now the Senior Day program is also for seniors who have mild to moderate dementia.
Hmm.
But that's obviously a huge issue because people are living longer, which mm-hmm. means you're now more inclined to have a memory care issue during your lifetime than when we were all dying in our 60s and 70s.
Yes, yes. Well, the most important part of what I want to talk about today is the respite and aid that these programs provide for our families. Because as you mentioned, now that people are living longer, a lot of, for lack of a better word, a burden falls on these adult children or other family members, maybe even friends, who would normally be just enjoying their retired days.
You're talking about the sandwich generation, they call
yes.
it, right? You got to raise your deal with your kids and your and the parents, right?
Yes. So these family members or full-time caregivers, by the time that a senior with dementia usually arrives at St. Paul's, these family members have been caring for the person full time, and they're rather burnt out and really exhausted, and they do need help.
And I read that usually that's about a 2-year time period where people try to care for somebody before they make the decision to seek additional resources. Is that accurate? Because that's a long time to struggle with that.
It is a long time. It's a very long time to do it daily without a break. It's a pretty underappreciated job, and it doesn't pay any money,
mm-hmm.
and so you're very underappreciated. And when you really think about it, by the time that the senior maybe moves in or just takes advantage of some of our other services, an entire team of professionals is doing the job that just one person was doing before. You know, direct care staff, nursing, therapists, social workers, and the activity people in the transportation. It takes an entire team to care for somebody with dementia, and so many people try to do it on their own, and they do a great job, and they give it their all. It's just so challenging.
Mm-hmm. Emotionally challenging, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when it's a family member. So dementia and Alzheimer's, I mean, were these around 100, 200 years ago, or are they relatively, I guess, because we have more sophisticated in the medical sphere that we've now been able to identify these? Or in other words, has this been an ongoing problem for a certain number of the population, or is it just more pronounced now because people are living longer? I mean, what do you know about that?
Well, I definitely agree that with the age, you know, people living longer, that we are seeing more of it, but I do think it's always been around. But the numbers are increasing, so we have to continue raising the awareness and doing our best to offer all these services that are going to aid the senior with dementia and the family members.
I think years ago we used to just use the blanket term senility, you know,
mm-hmm.
and now being ignorant, just like, and we couldn't talk about cancer, and we couldn't talk about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's all, you know, out there now. It just must be horrible to one day, you know, your mother, father doesn't recognize their children. I mean, what do you do? I mean, that's got to be challenging. What are the numbers? I mean, as far as the population, do we have any idea what percentage of seniors are actually going to get dementia, severe dementia?
Well, the average age is 85 right now for seniors that do have some form of dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So they are more elderly, but unfortunately there is some early onset cases as mm-hmm. well. The Alzheimer's Association is a wonderful statistical resource who they really are tracking a lot of the numbers.
I want to look at their website, mm-hmm. I guess. I think there's a movie coming out where the middle-aged mother has early on, she tells her family, I've got Alzheimer's, early onset, and
Famous women's basketball coach, University of Tennessee, Pat Summitt, is probably one of the leading examples of early onset of Alzheimer's. And, of course, she's been very outspoken in support of people with Alzheimer's. But I believe she was only about 60 when she went public with that a few years ago. I believe she's the all-time leading winning women's basketball coach in the history of college basketball, Pat Summitt.
Did they do like an MRI or something? And what are the symptoms and...
Yes, unfortunately, the only true way to diagnose Alzheimer's is postmortem, but it is getting more and more accurate with better technology.
PET scans and things.
Brain scans. Mm-hmm. They're looking for the plaques and the tangles in the brain for Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
Other forms of dementia are usually mm-hmm. more diagnosed with symptoms than actual brain scans.
We'll come back and touch on more of this right after this break. We'll be back with Melissa Stinson. Hang on. We'll be right back. right, we're back in the home stretch of It's Your Money and Your Life with Melissa Stinson, daycare supervisor at St. Paul Senior Homes and Services. Their website is stpaulseniors.org. And welcome back, Melissa. I think Paul had a statistic about the frequency of Alzheimer's, and you want to give us that number,
yeah,
Paul?
Yeah, Melissa mentioned that age 85 was typically the age where you start to see the onset of some kind of dementia. And it's interesting that that segment of the population, age 85 and up, is the fastest growing segment of the population in our country right now. Hmm. And the statistics show that close to one half of the people over age 85 have some form of dementia.
Wow. And we have 10,000 people turning 65 every day for the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. So think about that. Hey, if folks want a tour of St. Paul's, I see on your website, they just click on that open houses and they can set that up with somebody.
They can come on a tour any day out of the year from 8:30 to 5.
Perfect. Wonderful. Wonderful.
So Melissa, we had talked about spirituality as it relates to aging. How do you folks incorporate that into the work that you're doing?
It is such a unique aspect of St. Paul's that they really encourage and embrace spirituality. And we also encourage it in dementia care, not just for our independent living or assisted living services. So as Liam had mentioned before, we have chaplains on the payroll who do services of different denominations or non-denominational. And they also will do hospital visits and just one-on-one visits and really serve any spiritual or emotional needs of a senior. And the spiritual aspect of St. Paul's is really encouraged in the entire culture. It's not a taboo topic where you're afraid to talk about it or have retributions for talking about religion or spirituality at work. You are welcome to be open and just really supportive of your seniors and support them in that way. With dementia, seniors definitely embrace spirituality and find comfort in it, and they remember it. It's not something that they forgot because it is very emotional. It's a feelings-based thing at that point, and it promotes peace and a positive environment. And amidst these strong feelings of loss of maybe your loved one, your spouse, your friends, things that we were mm-hmm. mentioning earlier, mm-hmm. it is just something stable that you can hold on to and can comfort you in those times.
Mm-hmm. Do they have group discussions, like maybe the seniors get together and deal out openly with some of their issues and maybe they can help each other that way? Does that go on at all? Or?
Yes, the chaplain does lead some discussions that you could call not religious, but definitely promote those same qualities where you can just be really open about your feelings and a little bit like a therapy session where mm-hmm. you're just sharing and, mm-hmm. and getting comfort and maybe suggestions from people who have been through or going through something similar.
You know, I used to be president of a club, a Toastmasters club called Laughmasters, and we had everybody tell a joke. And I'll tell you, some seniors used to show, one lady lived for that one day a month to get up there to tell her joke. And she used to, you know, drive in or have someone drive her. But, you know, think about that.
Open mic day, huh?
No, just call it a joke session. They did it at the wellness community up in, I was on the board to help found that, but people with cancer and their family members. But, laughter is a great therapeutic tool, I think.
Yes.
So I just throw it. Well, Patch Adams, great film there. Wasn't that one good?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, can I ask a question? People always say one of the first signs of maybe dementia or its onset is memory loss. Which I find, if you're really having a hectic day, you have that anyway. Can you provide some more concrete examples? I mean, it's hard to judge if somebody has memory loss because you don't necessarily know what they know or don't know or don't remember. What, in terms of daily activities, can you mention some things that might be evidence that this process is unfortunately starting to occur?
Sure. It is going to be different for everybody. So I definitely want to stress that. And it's also especially going to be different depending on what type of dementia you have. And it's going to look different along the way. So it could start with larger confusion and losses. One woman, she explained how she could no longer tell time. She could still remember people's birthdays and she could remember what she was supposed to be teaching in her class later that day, but she could not read a clock. And that was one of the things that she lost first. You're also going to see some impaired judgment. Maybe crossing the street, a little bit of a risky moment where normally you would have been a little more cautious and waited. And so you start losing some of those other skills as well. Short-term memory is almost always the thing that's going to go first.
I went on the Alzheimer website. There's about 10 signs right here, and you mentioned some of them, but, you know, difficulty completing.
But interesting, what I've seen is the inability to, if they're looking at their mail, actually understand what's relevant, what's not, what needs action, what doesn't. I mean, well, just simple things.
Yeah, that's the judgment thing.
That's a judgment thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for example, they'll get a check and it'll just be sitting on the table for 2 months. They don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then withdrawal from work or social activities or changes in mood. We'll get into that with Dr. Greenspan when he comes on, because I think he'll have a lot to say about that as well. So, so the facility again is down at Maple, and where is it again?
Fourth and Maple.
Fourth and Maple.
It's a day program for seniors,
and that's where you serve the 800 seniors there, or it's
mostly. We have a Bankers Hill campus. Mm-hmm. We have a PACE program that's located on Elm Street, mm-hmm. which is right off Interstate 5 in downtown, and then we have a PACE program in Chula Vista, and then of course the Plaza. St. Paul's Plaza, which is our new retirement community, that's opening up this summer in Otay Ranch in Chula Vista.
Mm-hmm. How big is that property going to be?
That property it's several acres. It's right next to a Sharp clinic, and it will serve about 150 seniors when fully operational. We'll have memory care, assisted living, and independent living.
Mm-hmm. Set to open when? Do you know when that will?
We're going to have our big fundraiser there in early July.
All right.
We're hoping to have some residents that will already be there living by early June. A lot of it is dependent upon licensure with the state of California, but we've opened retirement communities and programs before, and we know how to get these things done.
It's going to be a big deal. You have a pool, a gym, a restaurant, a chapel.
And we're going to have a pub.
And
a pub.
Okay, I'll show up for that. And 60 new jobs, so people should...
St. Paul's Pub.
Yeah, should get on your website and start to apply or take a look over there, right?
We'll have 60 new jobs, and more importantly, we'll be serving... Mm-hmm. seniors that are going to need our care.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we have to wrap it right there. But thanks so much for being our guests, Melissa Stinson and Liam Dunphy and Paul Hines.
Thanks for coming by.
Yes, sir. And Richard, always a great pleasure to see you. And go Patriots, right, Liam?
Sure.
You're a Patriot fam. Anyway, thank you to Eric Rubalcava, our board operator, for making us sound good. Thanks to Craig Blanke, our account executive. Thanks to Dave Sniff, our programming director and genius here. And get on iymoney.com for all those commercial-free podcasts. You can hear this one probably coming up Monday. So have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time on It's Your Money and Your Life. Good night now.